Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see. Wow.
Oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that cool. Culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
Start the app. Deadass.
Deadass. Oh, my Deadass. God. Wait. This makes me miss Set Life.
I accidentally put the cadence of "Why don't you" in there, and that's
why don't you get the berry? Why don't you? You know
get
what?
Get the berry? Why don't you?
Reader's publicist. I do this every now and then with my sister Matt Rogers, where I remind him of a brilliant thing he's done because he does so. The volume is so much that he often forgets. Ooh. And we were talking about the. This is just like a little earworm that's just stayed with me, but on the first episode of the 12 Days of Culture. Which is our Christmas.
An underrated Las Culch moment in time.
People don't talk about the 12 Days of Culture
enough. They don't talk about it.
They don't. You're right. Anyway, my sister was... we were playing Mary Fuck Kill with McDonald's menu items. And he posed to me, Mary Fuck Kill, strawberry milkshake, McFlurry, or you mix different sodas at the soda fountain.
That's like a suicide.
For creations, yes. They were called suicides. I quote my friend, this is not the moment, but my friend said, you know my gay little ass was up there making creations, drinking creations.
Basically, you all know, like, if you're an adventurous kid with a cup in your hand at a McDonald's,
the
soda fountain becomes an endless world of possibilities.
Would you say that was your first canvas?
I think that was the culture that made me say culture was for me. I think just the cut to it. My first canvas as an artist? Yeah, I guess so. It was the first time I was taking... I was learning about, you know, ratio in terms of, like,
blending.
Flavor. And that is art. That is art. The blend.
I would be willing to bet that a lot of readers and publicists out there, their first... moment of artwork was at the McDonald's soda fountain.
Because they were creative. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like,
and their parents, I think that they definitely looked at them at the soda swap, whatever you're going to call it.
Soda swap.
Well, it certainly was a soda swap when I was there because I was swapping flavors, honey.
Sounds sexual almost.
But I digress. So basically what I'm saying is like these parents were watching their kids at the soda swap and they're saying
what do you think they said
let him create let her do
let
what
her
she's
do
gonna
it.
Do at the fountain let her find it and that's how you get vanilla coke you know what I mean like because
I thought you were gonna say and that's how you get Vanessa Carlton as if she was
well,
one of the
first that's how you get Vanessa Carlton you can't stifle her creative impulses at the soda swap.
Otherwise, she's not going to write an amazing piano intro to one of the best pop songs of all time.
Was it you that I was recently talking about this song with?
I was in
the car with Greta. This is what it was. We were driving on Larchmont and we suddenly knew we needed to listen to 1,000 Miles by Vanessa
Carlton. It was like the scene in White Chicks.
It was sort of like the scene in White Chicks. Yes, very much so. And we sort of were just like, we must listen to that song right now, as soon as possible. And you know what Greta told me? A little factoid about that song.
I'm scared.
She originally, apparently there was like a documentary about the song or whatever. Like there's some piece of media out there that like takes a look at the creation of the song. And Vanessa Carlton said, Greta can tell us more about this when she comes back on the pod. But soon. Vanessa Carlton said she did not want to do "If I Could Fall Into the Sky."
Wow.
She didn't want to do the riffing. She didn't want to go "Pass Me By." She didn't want to do any of that. She wanted it to just be the same. And the person that was producing the song said, "No, you need to give the girls variations on the last chorus."
They were right, unfortunately.
They were
100%
right. So that was a moment of, at the soda swap, you say, well, but tell her she shouldn't put, you know, vitamin C in there with the Coke and the Sprite. Like, at a certain point, you do step in. And that was that producer.
Actually, my theory is that Vanessa Carlton only did 2 flavor mixtures her whole entire childhood. And when other kids were saying, let's mix it up and give variation, she said, no, I want it to be the same. Mm-mm. Which is not the right instinct to have as an artist, unfortunately.
Well, especially not as a young artist. You know what I mean?
No,
that's
as a young artist.
That's when she can make mistakes. That's when she can make mistakes at
Absolutely.
The soda swap. When she's fighting within herself, like, am I going to put, you know... high C in with the Dr. Pepper and the Sprite. A seasoned person who's been in that McDonald's for some time would know that's when you stop. But when you're a young artist and you can make mistakes like that, guess what? She's going to find herself on the world stage in not so many years. And she's going to have hit after hit. And she only had a couple.
She had a couple, but they're great. No, that's okay. That's nothing to apologize for. We're not. She's had a great life. I need to finish the reference.
Go ahead.
I think Vanessa Carlton at the McDonald's at the soda fountain is one of the most indelible Las Culturistas images. Speaking of art,
Should be a t-shirt.
My sister, I'm reaching out my hand to the camera, holding it from across the country. We just created something.
We created something together, and it will stand the test of time. An image. And that sometimes is, I always say to anyone that wants to become an artist, if you do one thing every day that reminds you who you are, and I'm hitting my chest right now, that you're an artist, you succeeded that day. And my sister, we succeeded in creating that art, that image of Vanessa at the soda swap.
I'm crying. Do you see the tears running down my face?
Vividly.
This is an opportunity for the readers and publicists. I want to see your images. We've given you the auditory imagery. I want to see your Photoshops, your paintings, your crayon drawings of Vanessa Carlton as a child at the soda fountain.
Use your this would be my tip to everyone out there. Use your imagination to sort of think of an image of a time, of a place, of a person, and send in your ideas of what you thought. Like, think of a picture. Think of a picture and tell us what the picture looks like. And that's what we're asking you guys to do right now.
Absolutely. I am crying with emotion. I'm trembling. Oh my God, Titanic vibes. We still haven't gotten to
the reference.
So Matt Rogers saying, start the show, dead ass. Was it start the show or start the recording?
I said,
start the show,
dead ass.
Dead ass.
It was a blend of two different things.
Yeah, but then a further blend, another soda in the soda, in the soda cup.
Yeah.
An inflection, a delivery on the first episode of our 12 Days of Culture, where we talked about McDonald's. Mary Fuck Kill, Strawberry Milkshake, McFlurry, Soda Creation,
and
suicides.
All the sodas, suicides.
I said, Mary, one thing. I said, fuck Strawberry Milkshake. And you said, ooh, yes. Get the berry, why don't ya? And...
And
it's such a beautiful
you've
delivery.
You've latched onto that. Get the berry.
It's
why
so
don't
funny.
You? So
it's
this
so
blend,
funny.
This, what I tried to do was I tried to give you Blac Chyna with cut the cameras. Deadass. And I accidentally brought in something I knew you enjoyed, which was the
get the berry.
On get the berry.
Get
why
the
don't
berry.
You? And it
why
sort
don't
of
you?
Became a start the ep. Deadass.
Deadass.
Beautiful, like sort of. Culture coming together, you know, two different cultures,
the layers on this are wild. True creation and culture coming together. I feel like an artist today.
Me
and
too.
I don't feel that way every day.
No. Do you feel that you feel like an artist because you're inspired by so much art around you? Like, do you feel especially like able to create such brilliance as we've already have done on the episode because lately you're feeling extra inspired? Tell me about how inspired you feel.
I really don't feel that inspired, to be honest. And that's okay.
Okay.
I think it's one of those things, to be honest, where you're with your sister.
And something flies free.
Something flies free. It's like you were the other wing to the aircraft that I'm the other half of. We're two halves of the same plane.
You need two. It's actually rule of culture. When it comes to wings on an airplane,
you need two.
And which rule is that?
Rule of culture number 6.
That's so close to being number 1. It's not even funny.
it's not even funny. There's so much culture to talk about.
I want you to understand something straight off the top, and
you're talking to me or talking to the readers?
I'm talking to you.
Okay. Oh, you think I'm going to be mad?
I want to ask for grace.
Okay.
I really tried to watch Squid Game.
Mm-hmm.
It was too much for me.
When did you stop?
After it started to get going in the first episode, like after red light, green light.
My God. You're missing out on so much.
But that's okay. And I don't want it, this to become about that. I just want to...
It's not. I'm just saying.
I want to just be honest that I tried to watch the show. It put me in a state of anxiety and... It just got a little too real for me that I had to back off, but I want you to explain to me everything you feel.
Well, first of all...
Oh, my God.
I just want to talk to you as a sister. I feel like so... this is just a conversation, and I might be wrong and insensitive, so please let me know if I am.
If you cross over into insensitive, I'm going to tell
you. You will let me know.
Yeah.
Please.
When I feel like you're being insensitive towards me.
No, truly, I'm telling you, like, no
BS. Bullshit, no lie. No lie. No trickery, no fakery. This is real talk between sisters. Go.
If I'm being insensitive, you have to let me know.
100%.
I think I sometimes feel that I don't get to talk about the culture I love so much that I'm consuming because... I mean, this is true of both of us. Sometimes I haven't seen or appreciated something that you love, and mm-hmm. but whenever it happens to fall on me, I think, well, damn, I guess I have no one to talk to about this, and I feel like I never externalize my feelings about it because my sister is too scared, or too busy to play Breath of the Wild.
Wasn't about being busy.
What was it? What was it about?
It was
too stressful.
It was stressful to figure out because the game is very complicated. In order to even start up a Nintendo Switch, you have to go through many obstacles. It's actually one of the most difficult things. They've been saying this. There's actually been news reports about how one of the hardest things to do is to figure out how to start a new game on Nintendo Switch.
It goes death, divorce, moving, figuring out how to start a game on Nintendo Switch.
And let me tell you something. A couple of those things are inevitable. So when I can just skip one, that's actually okay. Can I say something real?
Which one's the inevitable one? Moving? You're going to get divorced, bitch. And you're staying right where you are in that bleep neighborhood of LA. I bleeped it because I didn't want people to know where you lived.
Yeah. Well,
what were you about to say? I cut you off.
All I'm saying is that I want to participate in these things, but this, like, it physically upsets me to watch because I'm under such duress. Like, it's just not for me. But, and it has nothing to do with anything other than how I physically feel when I'm watching it, because it just doesn't give me the joy that it gives everyone else. And that is 100% fine.
It's so fine. It's valid. And
it's not personal towards you, my sister.
I know, but I feel like it works out this way a lot, where I feel like I don't ever talk about the shit I like because no one ever knows what I'm talking about.
But you're using Breath of the Wild and Squid Game as examples?
No. I mean, yeah, those are at the top of my head, those are my examples. But it's okay.
But I did play Breath of the Wild. It was just too stupid for my dumb high ass to figure out how to play it. I told you what happened to me in that section of the ride.
It is like a ride if you think about it.
I love thinking about it that way.
It's
I
a
love
ride.
Video games.
You have to think of video games in this way. It's a Disney. It's an Orlando ride that you can ride at home.
All right.
Without leaving home.
You know what? I'm actually going to say something straight up, and I know that I have readers out there and publicists that are going to agree with me because I'm not going to joke around about it anymore.
Okay.
This is the truth. When we were little, we played video games and they were straightforward and they were easy and they were fun. I took a break from video games for some odd years. I try to get back into it. All of a sudden, the girls are complicated. I tried to play when we were staying at the Fire Island house. Tomas was playing. What was he playing?
He was playing a bunch of different games. He might have been playing. I think he's a Fortnite.
That's the one. Uh-huh. The one that everyone loves is Fortnite. You put the controls in my hands, I don't even know how to go up or down.
It's pretty intuitive, I promise you. And it's over time you learn these things. But okay, video games are a specific example, but like I have immense grace, and I feel bad even bringing this up because I do feel like I'm being insensitive and you didn't call me out on it for even bringing this up. I just But then I think about, oh, well, if Matt is physically, for people who are watching Squid Game who are physically suffering and like panicked and nervous to watch this, then please do not watch
you
it.
You even said yourself that you said, well, you came on your story and you said, it's like when people die in this, they die in real life. Like
that's an observation. That's an observation I have about the way violence is beautifully, intentionally portrayed and produced on the show. Like the way it cuts to like certain violent things is so raw, and you're like, how did they fake that or special effects that, like,
right?
That was my only comment.
Anyway. So you're saying that the violence is very grounded and raw, and like it's different than like American violence in that it's not as,
yes,
like,
I said this to you, yes. Mm-hmm. It's different Korean, or like I would just broaden it to like Asian media violence is different from Western media violence, where it's like a little too sexual, a little too like focused on like the anatomy. Mm-hmm. And this is something that's just like, it's very cinematic. There's a cinematic conventional way of portraying violence in Western film, and let's say, but with Korean dramas, for this in particular, for Alice in Borderlands, I believe, like, I haven't seen it yet, but like it's just someone dying, like someone gets killed and that's it. Like that's all you as an audience member need to know. I just think it's very cool and refreshing, and I just like forgot about that. Anyway, yes, sorry. Matt and I are both stoned right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is why I'm rambling, maybe. But
you're not
anyway.
Rambling, but but here's my point. You absolutely were able to say whatever it is you wanted to say about Squid Game. And going forward, if you wanted to keep talking about it, you could say whatever you want about, you can make the comparisons between American violence and Korea and the way that it's done in Korean drama. You can go on and do that. You didn't need me to put myself through something physically uncomfortable in order to expound on this topic.
Fine, but I'm just saying.
But
I'm
you really want
sister,
me to watch it?
No. I don't want you to watch it anymore because I do know that it's not for you. I truly thought like Matt can handle this, and the fact that you're telling me that you can't, I say, do not watch it ever in your life. I don't want you feeling this way. I love you too much.
Okay.
I'm just saying that I would have loved to talk to my very smart, funny, culturally intelligent friend Matt Rogers.
Well. I mean,
what are you enjoying? Tell me what you're enjoying.
I'm just watching a lot. Okay, so on this most, and this is just the type of, I guess, person I am lately.
Yes,
where
yes.
It's just, I just want more of the same. And maybe that is culturally like dumbing me down, and I should just resign as a host of this podcast because.
No, what are you doing?
I understand that it is boring that I didn't watch Squid Game, but I promise it's for a good reason. And I also understand that it's going to be insanely boring for some people that listen to this podcast to hear me say again that the morning show has re-entered my life, and that the other day I watched Reese Witherspoon and Juliana Margulies make out of nowhere, and I was watching Jennifer Aniston chop wood in the forest because she's writing a book about her experience, and I'm like, this show is camp and drag, so I've gotten back into that because I really enjoy it, and it doesn't like physically threaten me with violence the way that Squid Game literally does, and I know it's not going to send me into an absolute panic. So that's what I watched, and I will say I did gasp out loud and then stand up and clap when Reese Witherspoon and Juliana Margulies had a lesbian kiss in the back of a limousine. But that was as much like visceral, like physical response it got from me, whereas Squid Game had me like squirming before the first hour was even up, and so that's why I just decided on one feeling over the other.
Of course, that makes complete sense to me. And I just have to ask you many things about, or a couple things about Morning Show, but one last thing about Squid Game, which is you did not even finish the first episode.
No, I got till roughly the end, yes.
So the answer is you did not finish the first episode.
No, I just thought I'm going to do something else.
That hurts. That really hurts.
No need for you to take it personally.
I'm kidding. I just think I was talking to my new friend IRL, Riri Cheney. Hi, Riri.
One of the top friends.
I saw her on Friday, and she said something really great. She said, one of the best EP2s ever in any show. One of the most clever ways to do an episode 2 of a show And I completely agreed. I was like, yes, and for these specific reasons, because I'll spoil it for you.
No, here's the thing. No need to even spoil it, because once I found out I wasn't going to sit and watch it, I did sort of dig into what happens in the show and so thematically and everything like that. I do understand what's happening.
Got it. This is a spoiler alert for episode 2.
That they are allowed to go home and they return.
They're allowed to go home and they go, and they're allowed to go home, but for a period of time, let's just say. And it's just a very great way to like not do flashbacks, but like get them into, like, you see what's at stake for them. Anyway, great. Morning show, why? So Reese's character is a little bit, she a little bit gay?
I mean, I suppose. I mean, that's sort
of. And Juliana's too?
They're sort of like having them look at each other in a way where it's like clearly they're being directed to want to fuck each other throughout, and then they have a very intense sort of open mouth kiss in the back of a limo. And so that would sort of suggest to me that one or both characters are gay or questioning or queer questioning.
Yes. Interesting. How do you think it's working? Is it being used to like a particular effect?
I think what I like about the show is it sort of reminded me of the way we were talking in the beginning of the episode about asking the readers to send in what kind of pictures they would like us to consider. It's sort of like every episode of the morning show is sort of like a third grade teacher comes in and says to a class of people, like, okay, today what we're gonna do is we're gonna write an episode of TV and anything can happen in it. And you know, it should feel like real, like it could really happen. But if you use your imagination, characters can say and do things whatever you want. And it's like the class got the whole day to write an episode of television. And then whatever is written at the end of the day is what they film and put on Apple TV Plus, and it is the morning show. Like, that's
so
just
nice.
The energy of it.
It's the Story Pirates energy. It makes me smile.
Yeah, it sort of is. It's like, you know, like Reese Witherspoon and Juliana Margulies are having a conversation. They kiss in the middle of a sentence, and then a huge asteroid is headed towards the Earth, and they're like, we have to go report on this. Like, that kind of third grade manic energy is happening.
Wait, that is incredible that a world-ending story breaks while these two characters make out and they have to run and report on it. That sounds like the level of camp that would be attributed to the morning show. I've only seen one episode of it, and it was the third episode, and it was Jennifer Aniston yelling to a boardroom of men that was very Mommy Dearest, and I loved it. And I thought, okay, I get what the show is about. I understand why people like it. I'm sorry that I have not seen the show.
Yeah, and in that scene, she does call everyone bozos. And that's, I guess, bozos. What I mean when I say, like, a third grader wrote it. Like, and I do think, like, let me just clarify, like, I'm not insulting the writing staff. I think this is actually a genius way to put a show together. I think this is like, you have me watching still. Like, I am still... Oh. They're watching it. So no one should take any offense or change a thing. Keep going. Like, they are really going to do the coronavirus in the show.
They are?
Yeah. So proverbially, that is the asteroid I'm talking about. Like, there's literally scenes, Bowen, where, like, there'll be two characters in the hallway just kind of like, should we report on this coronavirus thing? Someone behind them will sneeze. And then another person will just go,
no,
it's probably not a very big deal. Anyway, what else today? And they just go sort of walk and like start other dialogue. Like they send a character to Wuhan. Like
is this going to be our first great piece of COVID like
media?
Scripted content? And like, wow. Really,
I don't know if it'll be the first great one, but I will say this. There was a shot in the first episode that's like makes it clear that they're going to be tackling what it happens when like New York empties right the hell out and like COVID comes to play. So we will see. I just hope that they can still keep the bigness of how stupid it all is. While in like a COVID world. You know what I mean? Because we need the pulp.
COVID's not very pulpy.
It's not. It's very stagnant, actually. COVID, like, famously, everyone kind of just, like, stayed put there,
you just kind of, you kind of sit around if COVID's in the world.
Yeah.
You don't really do much. Nothing really motivates you to not, to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyway. Well, I'm so glad you're enjoying it. Is it a comfort that you're watching? Because I legitimately watch comfort. Squid Game as a comfort.
See, amazing. And I guess that just speaks to two different personality types. Watching and Squid Game as a comfort is that is harrowing to me. And I will also say this Friday, this is
where I'm not even spooky. I'm not even like a spooky horror loving person. It was just comforting to watch. I'm sorry, I keep going. Friday, you're going to horror night.
Cut to me going to horror nights on Friday because I fucking love it. Like, so that's, I guess, like a little bit of a internal conflict.
Yeah, it sounds like you need to resolve this.
Well, can I just physically explain? So when I am in like a haunted house or like an immersive, scary setting, I feel as though I can get away. Like, I'm very spry. Like, I'm a person with a lot of energy. And so I have to be able to, if I'm in that atmosphere,
you're saying,
we have to go.
If you watch a movie, there's no escape.
I have too much energy to sit here and just like feel that anxious about something happening. Trust me, like I don't know if I've talked to you about this, but like,
what?
There was like a phase in my like early high school like era where like I was going to a horror movie every week, and they were driving me crazy.
Because that era, we've talked about this, where that era of horror was fucked up.
Yeah. It was like a time when it felt like every week there was a new horror movie in cinemas, like,
and one woman was getting raped at least.
Right.
Like it was bad.
Very much so. But you watched like something like Malignant and you did like it.
I have not seen Malignant yet. I think based on what I'm hearing, I don't know that much about the turn, but based on what I'm hearing, it sounds like I've heard that it's, quote, the stupidest thing in the world in the best way, mm-hmm. that I will probably like it and love it. And I feel like I would want, see, the thing is, I would want to see that with you.
Is that because, why?
Because I want to be there with you when the stupidest thing I've ever seen in a film happens. And I see it for the first time.
And
I was with Joel Kim Booster during Hereditary when the part in Hereditary happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both like, I will never forget that moment for the rest of my life with one of my best friends, Joel Kim Booster.
And so he, I think, is gonna be like your horror movie friend. Like,
I know. Yes, he is. But I would love for you to also, that's not just one person.
But they're so scary. They are so scary. And when someone dies on camera in front of you, I don't know what it is. I can't shake it. Like, I get too emotionally involved sometimes in this shit where, like, I just get fucking anxious. And it definitely got worse during the pandemic. And
I don't want to make you feel bad or explain it.
But
I don't want to make you feel bad.
I am put in a position where I must. I am put in a position where I must.
Okay. I don't want you this upset.
I'm actually like fully over it. Because ultimately, no one can pin me down. No one can pin me down and make me do a goddamn thing I don't want to do.
You're right. You know what? You're right.
I like the spooky season, and I'm actually like thrilled and very much organizing the haunted house experience.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but I just, with scary movies or with like intense thrillers or with anything with like grounded, like,
you can't
violence,
run away.
Just, like, it just upsets me. I can't.
You can't run away. Your only escape is that fucking menu button, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Go back. Take me back to the menu. I will not get the death off the TV. I'm not watching that.
Get the scary shit off the TV. I'm not watching that. Get the gore off the TV. I'm not watching that. Gore. An issue.
Gore.
And then I go see.
That's title of app. Get the gore off the TV. I'm not watching that.
Get the gore off the TV. I'm not watching that. But then,
and
you know,
Anna,
what?
Can we do that in all caps? Thank you. Hot producer Anna. She's going to type all caps on the episode title.
What we actually did enjoy, though, was The Suicide Squad.
We did love that. That had, like, comparable violence.
But is that what you're talking about when you say American-type movie violence?
Oh, that's very specific. That's like magical realism and, like heightened, like, superhero violence. Yeah,
and that different. I can do. That's why I love,
stylized,
True Blood.
Ever upset you? The first one especially?
Like... Yes, I mean, yes. Like, that was, like, high stakes, like, real violence. And I was just like, I just don't love it. But then when something is goofy and dumb and it's like essentially minions getting killed, like, I'm fine.
Okay, so interesting. See, Kill Bill Volume 1, I would say, Volume 1 specifically, I would say, has the most stylized violence where it's like,
yeah,
she chops off five men's heads and it's like little cute little water fountains of pink blood, like fluorescent right. blood. Like, it doesn't even look real.
And
so
that,
therefore,
I'm into
it disarms the audience and you're like, oh, okay, that's like an art piece. It's like a sculpture. It's like a kinetic sculpture and it's not like an actual person being killed. So that right. you're okay with.
That I'm fine with. It's just like when it gets very like personal and intense, like, I don't know. Then I get like.
I see. I mean, this is not a spoiler alert. Squid Game, it ends in like one of the most graphic fight scenes I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And you would hate it and you would never make it to that.
So that's
okay. No, I know. And that's why I'm like,
but it is crazy.
I'm not pushing
though.
Back. I'm not pushing back on you. That's not what I'm doing.
I know you're not pushing back on me. You are only encouraging me to become a more realized version of myself.
Yes.
I will say
always.
I will say, what is cuckoo bananas is hearing things like most watched show ever of all time. More people have watched Squid Game than like,
You know, like Family Matters.
Or read the Bible, darling. Like, it's out there. And everyone is seeing it. And I'm just like, I can't.
You're talking about the world, honey. Korea's loving it. I bet Japan's loving it.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world. Every country in South America is watching Squid Game.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And it's up to every single citizen of those countries, including the United States of America, to decide whether or not they can stomach the violence.
Yeah, it's a lot.
How does it feel to be an inspiration, Matt? You've inspired me to a rousing call to action for the world. Don't watch Squid Game if you don't want to. That's what you've inspired me to tell people.
But the thing is, people should definitely go for it if they feel so inclined, because a lot of people love it.
Only if and only if they feel so inclined.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm really cutting you off a lot today. I'm chatty. I'm chatty on this weed.
Well, because you have... Yeah. What are you smoking?
I'm smoking... Okay. At this point, I am just like the brand ambassador, even though I never meant to be. I just love their stuff. Sunday School. They sell amazing pre-rolls. And I picked these up at MedMen as soon as I landed in LA 2 weeks ago. First place I went to after I checked in my hotel was MedMen in Beverly Grove. And I was like, this is wonderful. And it was the first time I'd actually been to MedMen and knew what I wanted, besides like those like bad pens from like 3 years ago. Do you remember those pens?
Of course.
The Dosis pens? They were bad. I'm sorry.
I actually don't think that they even had any weed in them.
They didn't. And I think they went under. I'm not seeing them around anymore. And it's because they didn't work. There was no weed in them.
Yeah. Very weird. I have these Pacific Stones. Have you seen this brand?
No. Is it fun? It looks fun.
I very much enjoy them. And they are a hybrid. And, you know, especially like while I had food poisoning, it was just like, ugh. I was really sitting here and just smoking weed all the time.
That's lovely.
And honestly, maybe that put me in a state of anxiety where I was like, Squid Game is not going to happen for me.
That's okay. You don't, if you rationalize Squid Game fear one more time.
No, it's not. I'm not even interested. I'm just thinking, I'm assessing my own. You know what? Like, and this actually is interesting. I am entertaining watching the Halloween movie. I'm entertaining it.
The first one? Or no, the new one that's coming.
The new one.
Halloween Kills.
Starring Kyle Richards.
You're going to go for Kyle alone. I know it.
I think I might be in that demographic that's like, if they were holding a clipboard at the end of the movie, so why did you come see Halloween Kills? Like, and people are like, Jamie Lee Curtis, man, we love her. We always want to see her kick us some ass. Michael Myers is so scary. And then I would be the one fact that's like, I really was into seeing what Kyle Richards was going to give.
Oh my god, that's a sketch. That's a really funny sketch.
I wanted to see what Kyle Richards was giving. Like, could she act? I don't know. Like, I wanted to see what she was carrying. Talent.
Oh my god. I wanted to see if she tore. And she did. She tore.
She stopped doing Botox for 6 months beforehand because she said, quote, an actress should be able to move her face, end quote.
But yeah, like, I hope we see Michael Myers' face this time.
I'm really interested to see if we see his face, because actually in no movie ever have you seen his face. So like, and we're getting towards the end there, so, you know, definitely want to see Jamie Lee kick ass, man. So fucking hot still.
Do you think Kyle Richards looks like Casey Musgraves?
I don't know. I just think Kyle Richards, like, well, I know she was really unhappy with her bangs, you know, like, they made her get those bangs. So I really want to see how the bangs look on camera. And,
oh my god, this is so funny.
But the one trailer where they had, like, she does like the whole
where she screams.
Yeah, she's like,
she screams at the kids.
What are you just doing out here? I'm like, yes, guys.
She was good. She was good.
We did a live about it immediately after. We were like, could you believe?
I couldn't believe.
I will say Bowen and I's favorite bit is to pretend that one of the housewives is going to host SNL. Like, well, Sutton's coming to host and currently from October, so.
We got something struck, everybody. All right. Well, Erica's been through a lot.
Erica's been through a lot. Does Heidi have a Sutton? Could be interesting.
Be interesting. Bowen could do Crystal. And
yeah, you would slay as Crystal. You'd be so good. It's that thing.
You're an awkward, uncomfortable person.
Oh my god, you're killing me, Crystal. Emmy. You should play Crystal Kung Minkoff on the show and then submit that to the Emmys. Bowen showed off his Crystal Kung Minkoff on this episode, so that's going to be competitive for the win.
Like, Bowen had such a moment with Crystal Kung Minkoff. Like, it's like, you know, like...
I mean, it was just that thing of, like, when pop culture, like, met SNL, it was like that moment, that Tina Sarah Palin moment, like, when Bowen did his Crystal Kung Minkoff.
You know, you would wake up on Sunday and, like, all anybody would talk about was Bowen doing Crystal.
And she benefited from it, too. Like, and she loved it, too. And that's why, you know, it could be interesting, you know, Crystal's coming through. Actually, I know Rob. And she's coming through, and Bowen, you know,
could be interesting. Ascala's gonna nail it. Ascala's just gonna be
musical
phenomenal.
Guest Ascala.
Ascala.
By the way, did you watch this week's episode?
I did watch this week's episode.
She was wearing a top at Wendy's, like, Chesapeake House, which I was like, is that a Versace? She was wearing like a Versace top.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a Versace top. Her husband, they did not let speak at all. Or he was maybe too uncomfortable and didn't say anything because he was like, there were literally cameras flying around me. But there was not enough Ascala this episode. That's my only note. It was a great episode otherwise.
I mean, Ascala is definitely getting comfortable sort of being very like Candace's like little
lackey.
As it yeah. were. Uh-huh. But she, I think, maybe didn't pick the right week for that because Candace is absolutely out of control. She's completely out of control.
Literally, just when I was starting to tell people,
mm-hmm.
I actually love Candace now.
I said she was my favorite housewife, so that's what I'm
Can't do it
with.
Anymore.
No.
Have we given Deep Space a spin yet on our own time?
I have a definitive sort of feeling about why it's not what it could be, because she actually doesn't know when to stop. Like, in the very first song, which is like an intro track, she says right before the rest of the album starts, she goes, "It's official, I hate it here." And I'm like, we did not need this line. Like, if you were gonna do like a
she doesn't know how to edit
intro, like, just let it be what it is and
yeah,
we move forward. But she does not. She's not a good editor.
She's not a good editor. She really needs to, like, just know how to take it.
Know when to stop.
You're right. That is the first and foremost problem. But just the whole, like, I mean, it's sad that she can't realize that her, like, making fun, quote unquote, of Mia for being a stripper, like, is not great. Like, is not a good look.
That's not a good look. Making fun of everything about her body is not a good look. Calling her big. Like, the feet thing is funny, but, like, and it's just, like, so relentless and so
After
vicious.
The fourth time, yeah. You're like, all right, lay off the feet. Why, weirdo?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And it's almost just hearing her be like, you were found on the corner, like, you're a hoe, you're a whore. Like, it just, it's like, it crosses over from insulting to becoming, like, very sex negative and, like, shamey towards sex work in a pretty real way. And, like, I never want to be the one to be like, you know, Candace, stop talking because she says so much good shit when you just let her go. But at a certain point, it's like her hit rate is not happening on this trip and no. She needs to cool it. Cool it.
Cool it. You know, Wendy, I love Wendy so much. Like, you could tell, like, because she and Mia have had their differences.
Yeah.
But she really took on when Mia was sharing with Wendy, like, her story about her mother. I looked at Wendy, they cut to Wendy, and I was like, wow, she's being very empathetic. Uh-huh. Like, in a way that makes me, like her a lot. Is this even worth mentioning?
Wendy's booked for the show season 7, 8, and 9. Like, Wendy's here to stay.
Of course. I just think she might be my favorite of all housewives at the moment.
Wendy?
Truly. Yeah. Just, like, in terms of, like, she knows when to get messy, and then she also doesn't know when to stop. Like, she's got, like, 7 canned catchphrases waiting to go. But she's also, like, she has, like, the good really outweighs, like, the fun and the bad. I was going to say the bad, but it's, like, she, like, I don't know. She's
winning the season flat out. Like, she is flat out winning the season, and I feel like she was really, really winning the season when she said... when Giselle was, like, accused her of being jealous or a hater, and she goes, hating on this? And, like, pointed around to, like, the fact that they were in, like, a shitty tent in Giselle's driveway while construction was happening. And I was just like, yeah, there's really nothing that Giselle can say. And also, Robin gets so bothered and panicked around Wendy. It's, and it's
interesting.
Like, yeah, she really cares.
She gets upset.
Upset, yeah.
I wonder why.
You're an asshole, Wendy. Wendy, you're an asshole.
That's a good Robin impression.
Yeah, I know. I'm coming. Well, you know, Matt is... Bowen is very good friends with someone who has a Robin Dixon. Robin Dixon. You know, Robin could Dixon. Be big. Could get Juan. You know, that great line. I'm so glad Juan Dixon's not here right now.
Not here.
Could be fun to hear in the studio.
You know, Whitney... I'm not putting Whitney out there alone.
She needs Heather. Someone seasoned.
She needs Heather. Someone more seasoned. Whitney's not going to stay live from. She can't do it.
Well, she hasn't earned it.
She hasn't earned it. And you know, back in the 70s, it was only 3 networks. And
can we actually for real say, though, that this podcast does have powers? Because the way we had Sarah Sherman on like 3 weeks before.
What are our gag? Powers? The gag. Oh my God. Sarah had a great first show. We love Sarah so much. She's so fucking funny. Pops on Cam,
the house down. And also, we have to shout out Billy Domino.
Billy Domino got hired at SNL to write. One of our first and only straight white cis male guests.
I think he might have been the first. And so that is the full circle moment of all full circle moments. Did you get to work with him at all?
Yes. He sent in a sketch last week that he wrote in his packet that included me. And so we worked on that together. Didn't get picked, but it was very funny. And I have some things, some collaborations in the mix
that works.
Might be coming in
the
works.
Could be coming around the corner of Bowen Yang Avenue.
Yes, absolutely. No, all the new hires are fantastic. Mm. I can't wait for everyone to see more.
Do you think that, you know, there's a big musical event happening this fall that sort of everyone's talking about. And I'm not talking about the re-release of Red. I'm talking about Adele returning. Do you think we may see her sweep through the halls?
Yeah, I think we may. Hmm. I think we may. Can we talk about... Well, no, this might be my own thing, so honey, for later. It's Adele related, potentially.
Oh my goodness. But are you feeling
Stay
positive
tuned.
Or negative about her impending
Watch this space.
Impending,
Watch this space. Oh, I'm so excited.
Dominance. Me too.
I'm so excited. So thrilled. I mean, she understands what is about to happen. Before she recorded this album, she must have understood that this will be the divorce album no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, there are emotions to bear.
Yes.
And that she understands the gravity and I don't want to say pressure, but like the stakes that people are putting on this.
Oh, I mean, she's gone through an upheaval emotionally. And so we are only trained to expect an avalanche of sadness,
expression,
grief, expression in general. Maybe we even may get like a third of the Someone Like You, Hello trilogy. Do you think that the album will be called, what, 30? Or will we get an album title?
Watch this space, because I do want to remark on this at the end of this show, this program.
Oh, so I understand. I understand. Like, so this sort
Did
of
I give
a,
it away? No, I gave it away.
No, no. You didn't give it away, yet. You didn't give it away yet.
Okay.
Well, I'm really interested. So also, she's really the queen of the fall. She remembers that we remember those iconic leaves blowing in the wind in the Hello video. And she says, they want fall from me.
They want fall. And like, she scared the other, who we thought was the queen of fall, Taylor, into moving her Red re-release back a week.
I love it.
Like, you know, Taylor, and that's a sign of Taylor respecting Adele.
Yeah.
To me.
I love it when they have no choice. Adele and Taylor Swift had no choice but to move it. Because she said, Adele's coming in and she wants this day. And then Taylor said,
and
okay.
And I won't give it to her.
And Taylor Swift said, okay, I'll move. That's power.
That's power. Adele, congratulations. That's
queendom.
Queendom.
Should we bestow the award on Adele? The Queendom Award? Lost Culturistas Queendom Award.
This is the first
ever.
The first Lost Culturistas Award we've officially given out.
This is so, and it's not one we've announced.
It's not a category we announced. This is one of those honorary awards, but we're gonna start Governor's it
Ball.
Off.
This is the yes.
This is the Lost Culturistas Culture Award Queendom
Award. It goes to a singer that has transfixed audiences all over the world with her candor, with her sheer vocal ability, and the effect that she has had on millions across the globe who cry with her,
yes,
who grieve with her, and who learn alongside her.
Oh my god, this is so beautiful.
The Lost Culturistas Award Queendom Award goes to Adele. Hello from the outside.
Oh
wow!
Why am I crying? That was the funniest thing anyone's ever done. I was touched.
Adele, this is Adele's first Lost Culturistas Culture Award. I don't even think she's got many other nominations. Is she even nominated?
I don't think she's nominated in other categories because we knew the whole time we were going to award her the Lost Culturistas Culture Award.
We knew all along. And you publicists are right now, you're shaking your damn head being like, wow, they really knew all along. They had a plan for us.
They had a plan for us. And who better for it to go to than Adele?
Than Adele. Adele Adkins, who from the ripe age of 19 has been touching audiences with really her ingenuity. The transparency she brings in her music. A vocal tone that is unmistakable. It is clear to us that Adele would be the only singular musical icon Adele in any generation. In any era, Adele would be the greatest. Simply the best singer of all time. She is the queendom. She wins the Queendom Award tonight.
Oh my god!
We've never been so proud to bestow.
This is so stupid. I can't believe how stoned I am. Oh my God.
You need to have that release.
I do. It wasn't even a big week.
Honey, I'm not talking about last week, okay? I'm just going to be very transparent right now. I don't care about the last week. I care about Kim K week.
Kim K week.
I care about Kim K coming to the gig.
I can't wait.
Are the vibes good so far?
So far, the vibes are great. And all I've heard about any personal sort of interactions with Kim K from people is that she's just cool and great and like is nice to people.
I'm laughing like, because I'm thinking, what if you had said, and all I've heard is that she's incredible at sketch. Like all I've heard of people that are like know her is that she is psychotically talented at sketch comedy. Oh,
my God, no, Kim K wrote, she like helped write like Britannic shit.
Yes, like Kim
she
K
helped
like,
write
was
she helped like the
UCB
Please Don't
Advanced.
Destroy Boys. Yeah.
Kim K like does amazing character work. Kim K like teaches character.
I bet she would teach character.
Yeah.
Like this is the thing, like she's going like fully in with like the lawyer stuff. Like she is going to be like one of the most iconic lawyers of all time.
She will be one of the most she'll be up there with like Elle Woods.
Absolutely. In fact, she's in many ways like an actual Elle Woods.
In many ways, like while you can't say Legally Blonde at all, like Kim K is living out a kind of iconic Elle Woods narrative. You can never forget that song at the end of the movie.
And the beginning.
Yes, it bookends. Mm-hmm.
That's what I didn't realize until I just put it on the other day because
after 12.
Can we do a little deep dive on what Hoku is doing right now? Because I really want to know. I really need to know I'm just gonna pull up
Wikipedia, this is insane that you would throw Hoku out there, but like it is true, like you do want to know what she's up to. Like, she was a big part of my life.
She's a huge part of my life.
She's 40 years old. She was born Hoku Christian Ho. Her name is Hoku Christian Ho.
She was born in Oahu. Why are you laughing?
Christian Ho is funny. Like, I'm sorry, but for the last two words of your name to be Christian Ho.
Christian Ho.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing. Cancel me. Whatever.
No.
Christian We're not- Ho.
Can we? Okay. We can't find out anything else about her. Because Christian Ho, we're just going to be thinking of Christian Ho the whole time.
Okay, so she and her husband, Jeremy, have three children, and they serve as arts and worship architects at Branches Church in Dana Point, California. So that's just to cut to the chase. She's an arts and worship architect at a church in California. There you go.
I don't know what that means.
Me neither at all.
Arts and worship. I'm looking at the words, and I go, what is that?
An arts and worship
architects
like that's like a is that like an imagineer director an imagineer of a church
that, I don't know wait a minute this is okay I'm sorry I'm just gonna read I don't care about the career stuff I'm sorry
no
we just skipped right to personal life I'm on her Wikipedia
okay
Hoku became a Christian after first attending church in 1995
yes
she has said that nothing means more to her than music outside of her family and faith
mm-hmm.
You read the next sentence
she married her high school sweetheart Jeremy Clements in 1999
The couple eloped for, quote, personal reasons, according to Hoku. That's scary to me.
Later saying that she was scared to tell her father because of his harsh attitude towards boys she previously dated and how young she was at the time. This is all very red flag to me.
I think she's hiding something.
I think that there's a lot going on here. I mean, musical style and artistry. So let's read here. She's been frequently compared to fellow pop singers Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears. However,
I don't know how frequently, but
they noted Hoku's distinct style, attributing it to the singer's Christian faith. It's not very comfortable for me to be a sex symbol, Hoku says, especially because of my faith. That's why I enjoy being involved with the younger kids, because they relate to me being the girl next door. So she was virginal, actually walking the walk of virginal Christian pop star, not like these other girls who... Christian Ho, more like.
Well, is this not a red flag to you? I enjoy being involved with the younger kids.
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
There's a lot of red flags with Hoku.
Is she talking about being like an arts and worship architect?
No.
Does that mean you work with kids? I think she
was talking about when she performs her concerts, she likes to look out in the crowd and see a lot of younger kids.
Involved with the younger kids is what's throwing me. Like,
I think a lot is throwing me. It's turning out about Hoku's story. Like, a lot of this personal stuff.
I'm legitimately freaked out.
It's like Whitney on Salt Lake. I have the fucking chills.
Oh, did you watch Salt Lake, Lisa?
I loved it. I loved Casino Night. I love Lisa's meltdown. I love Angie, the
new
one.
I'm literally so upset right now.
I'm heartbroken right now.
Angie outshone Jenny. I'm sorry, Jenny's.
Jenny is a flop. I was like, this one, there's actually something Angie going on. The lights are on upstairs with Angie. Jenny, I'm like, what?
I just think it's truly a difference between Jenny not knowing what, like, the job, what the assignment is, and Angie out the gate is like, okay, I'm going to throw a party. I'm going to get into a fight about it with one of the housewives about my party. And then all this other shit. And here's my deal. Like, I have a trans kid. Like, this is what the audience needs to know about me right off the top. Boom.
Let's just go down the list. She got to throw an event. She got a backstory where she has a trans child. She's way hotter than her husband. She turns looks. She did a costume change at her own party. She had a fight with and told us she was best friends with the same housewife in one episode. She's related to one of them. She fucking...
Oh my God. The list goes on.
The list goes on. And she had more than one confessional. And she got to say these words. I do think Lisa is capable of meddling in my event.
Amazing.
I said, welcome.
She just distilled the quintessential thing about housewives. I do think that... Wait, what'd she say?
I do think Lisa is capable of meddling in my event.
That's so rich. What a rich sentence.
I mean, you could only say it in a confessional on Housewives. Like, it's a sentence that doesn't belong anywhere else.
I do think Lisa is capable of meddling with my events. I mean, I think we have our first housewife who is coming in and knowing the I think she's doing this as a bit because she knows what to do. She's too smart.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
It feels like she's operating at a level maybe the rest of them aren't, which I think this show needs. Because I think Salt Lake City is lacking a grounded presence. I think that probably the most grounding presence is Meredith.
Interesting.
But even
I was gonna
Meredith
say it's
like
Heather.
Exists. Heather is a very grounding presence as well. Okay, so yeah, Heather and I think like Meredith, because she keeps being like, no, what's happening with my son Brooks and Jen is crazy and I won't talk to her if she's gonna act like this. Like, that's a very grounded place mm-hmm. to come from, whereas everyone else is like entertaining Jen in a way where I'm like, what? Why? She's insane. But I still think the show could use someone like Angie, because we get a lot of Mary who just isn't speaking English a lot of the time.
It is iconic. It's iconic, but I mean, talk about something that's like scary and gives me anxiety. And I do want to turn off, get the Mary off the TV. I'm not watching that. Like, I feel probably how you felt watching Squid Game when I watched Mary speak. I think, oh my God, what? This is too stressful.
And to tie it back to the beginning of our episode, to think that she actually is a day of culture. I mean, McDonald's is a day of culture number one, and then the day of culture number two was when Mary Cosby hits the world stage.
I mean,
are you excited to come to Ohio so we can sort of me, you, and Sudie have like a wine filled sort of
week
vacation week?
I can't wait. I'm sure it will be just what I need. Mm. And we will be smoking a lot of marijuana.
Well, I think so. But the thing is, like, I would love to go on, like, a wine excursion, literally like they did last week on Beverly Hills, like when they sort of went out and like drank wine professionally for hours. Like, I want to do that. I want
We're doing that. It. I'll book it. I booked us a nice restaurant the first night, and I'll do another few bookings the other. I'm really taking point on this trip the way I don't with any other vacation.
Well, I truly appreciate that. I kind of just felt like you seemed like you knew what you wanted and you felt good about it.
Oh yeah, and look, we'll figure it out together. It'll be a collaboration. I just went ahead and made some decisions that are malleable, and I'm open to change.
I love that. That's how the best thing should always be. But you know what's actually interesting is this sort of like this autumnal vibe we're starting to go into, which is like us drinking wine in Ojai of it all. It actually does relate to my I Don't Think So, Honey. So I think we could move into that area.
Yes,
if you are inclined to do so as well.
I am very inclined to do so.
Okay, so I Don't Think So, Honey is a 1 minute segment where we sort of rail against something in culture that, you know, needs a railing. And everything that my sister and I are making conversation about currently is sort of making me unable to hold mine in any longer. So I would love to do it.
What? Yeah. Are you okay?
I'm okay. I'll be okay.
Okay. Is it something that I'm doing?
No.
Okay. Wow. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey's time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. The lack of autumnal energy in Los Angeles, California. I have very simple pleasures. I wanted to go to the Gelson's today and buy some pumpkin beer so I could drink pumpkin beer with a cinnamon sugar rim. You cannot find pumpkin beer in, I think, the city of Los Angeles. It's extremely difficult. I feel like the climate of LA year-round, I Don't Think So, Honey, the fact that you are forcing autumnal pleasures that are simply for taste away from the citizens of this part of the country simply because you feel weather-wise it's not appropriate to, I don't know, carve a damn pumpkin, to, I don't
seconds.
Know, like, have apple pie, to, I don't know, just relentlessly do the pumpkin spice thing. And I understand it's basically,
5 seconds.
That's not really what I'm trying to cover here. What I'm trying to cover is it's not autumn here, and it needs to be.
And that's 1 minute. You know what I hear? I hear that you miss the crisp sensation of wind hitting you, blasting your body.
Yes.
You need to put on Red by Taylor Swift. Not Taylor's version yet.
No, not Taylor's version yet. But I am excited to sort of have that when the time is right. But the thing is, I also wish I could open my doors and windows and feel that crisp autumn air as I listened to said album. But it just doesn't exist here. And I'm realizing what bums me out is I spend like the asshole of the year in New York City during like August and September when it's still sweaty as absolute heck and soggy bottom. And then I come here where it's warm and hot just as New York gets to be at its absolute apex, which is October, November, and even into December in New York. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like that city during that time. And I'm missing out on it. And I just wish I could get a goddamn lick of it out here. And you can't.
I hear the pain in your voice.
I just wanted that real pumpkin beer. I just wanted that so bad. I don't know if the readers know that about me explicitly.
No, you love pumpkin beer so much. It's insane. And I celebrate that. But you, if you take
simple pleasures.
But this, if you find this bitch at some bar in the months of October, November, and yes, even into December.
I'd be drinking them.
He'd be asking, do you have pumpkin beer here, when the menu says they don't? And sometimes they do.
They often do. And that's the thing about New York, is you can always sort of like count on them to come through with that. So if anyone in Los Angeles can point me to institutions or establishments that sell maybe even, you know, have good varieties of pumpkin beer. That would be wonderful if you can.
Well, you got to leave the Gelson's. It's not, you can't have the only place to go be Gelson's. You got to expand your search.
Like, I'm sorry, but I've seen some of the clientele that goes to this Gelson's. Let's just say, It's right off the damn Hollywood Hills. So I've seen some celeb sightings in this Gelson's. And this Gelson's is not up to snuff. Okay? Let's just say there's a certain absolute film star. You can't get bigger. And I saw her with her kids. That's all I'm going to say about it. Down the hall in this Gelson's. And I said, I can't believe that establishment like this does not provide them with pumpkin beer. That's a star.
That's a star.
It is time for Bowen Yang's. I don't think so, honey. Are you ready to do yours?
I think so.
Okay. And you sort of hinted at it earlier.
Yeah, well, now people know. But yeah, here we go.
This is Bowen Yang's. I don't think so, honey. Time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Adele naming your album 30, probably. Like, you said in press that you were done with the numbers, the numerology, the numbering system of the albums after 25. And I think you should go back to that artist at that age. Keep your promise to her. Don't name it 30. Give us something. Give us something. Give us some texture beyond. Because there's, if you think about the albums,
30 seconds.
There isn't much discernment except for maybe she worked with Max Martin on one and not the other. And oh, that one's 5 more numbers or 4 more numbers or 3 more number 2, whatever, than the other one. I think she needs to start crystallizing 15. Her point of view a little bit more, which we all know what it is. And so just like seal it in with an actual word. Adele, I love you so much. I can't wait to see you at the show if you come through. I loved working with you last year. I hope that you end this as a quadrilogy and don't do it for the 5th album.
Whoop. So that's 1 minute. Now, I have to ask, why you seem so sure that it's going to be called 30. What makes you think that?
On the billboards that she's been promoting it with say 30.
Wait, seriously?
There have been billboards, I think in LA and New York, just like in like big, I don't know, cities, big markets, whatever. Like the billboards are just mysteriously, they say 30. They don't like say Adele. They don't confirm the title, I guess, technically, but it seems to be going in that direction.
Oh, wow. I hadn't seen this. Adele new album 30 speculation after several 30 billboards pop up. Oh, gosh. I didn't know this was a thing.
So I think this confirms it and it kind of disappoints me. Not in a real way. Like, I'll fucking love this album, I'm sure. But I'm like, I do think between 21 and 25, I'm like, see, like, sepia tone can't be like the only like big difference in this era, you know? Like, I need... Not that any singer needs to have eras, but I think like Adele like could absolutely like it would work if she just like applied some sort of like point of like intrigue or something into her album. Like give it some wording. I don't know. Like that's this is such an arbitrary, stupid thing for me to argue, which is that like word albums are better than number albums. I feel this way about 1989. I feel this way about 4. It's just like, to me, it feels almost, I love numbers. I'm a numbers guy.
Me too.
Analytical brain, bitch. But numbers as albums, boring. Give us a word.
I think
give us a
words
word.
Actually have the potential to be so beautiful, which is why I think I prefer
yes,
them.
Yes, numbers are always boring.
Numbers are never going to be so beautiful. You know what I mean? Like even the number.
There's no such thing as a beautiful number.
There's pretty numbers. Like 7 is like pretty. It's like pretty. That's why she's so popular, is because she is pretty.
She's pretty.
Yeah.
I feel like 4 is another beautiful number.
4 is a beautiful number, you know?
4 gets to, like, guess what 4 gets to do? She gets to, like, unbutton her collar sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, the 4 can either be closed, a triangle, or it's an open, you know, little pit.
Well, 4 is growing up. And can I tell you what other number is absolutely gorgeous? And there's just something
yeah,
about
what?
It. 11.
Oh, yeah, you're
11.
Right.
11. Like... 11. I would name
11.
I know that like there's famously an 11 from Stranger Things and it's Billy Bobby, and I'm taking her completely out of this. I don't want her involved in this, but I would name my daughter 11. 11 Rogers.
Bitch, that's gorgeous.
Isn't that absolutely?
Oh my God.
Superstar. It's a very famous British actress.
11
Rogers is such a famous British actress. She's like Daisy Edgar Jones, like 11 Rogers, and she's like so tender on screen.
Oh, she's so beautiful.
And she's so beautiful. She's like Keira Knightley.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
11 Rogers.
I just saw a musical yesterday called Six.
Wait, can you talk about what you felt about Six? I was so jealous of you that you had to go.
I really loved it. I enjoyed it so much. It was really cool to be there with, like, I think, like, a couple of the articles have remarked on this. It's like a very young, it's a very young Broadway audience in a different way than, like, you know, a young, like a Dear Evan Hansen. It's like a young Broadway audience that is there for a specific thing.
Yeah.
Which is like that show. And like, it's just great, great performances. Toby and Lucy, the people who wrote it, are fantastic. I did work with them recently and they were so lovely to work with. On a project, and God, they nailed it. They did a great job, and I was so happy for them because they were supposed to open right before COVID, and then, you know, this is just a long delayed, long deferred thing, and it's so great. And it was just, I think people really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I did, and I would say I enjoyed it as well. That's, I just meant like overall, like the feeling is like, oh, that's gonna be great. Like everyone's gonna love that.
Yeah, people that have seen it really, really seem to enjoy it. I'm going to see Wicked on Saturday, December 18th.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to go sit in the second row.
Who are you going with?
Well, you know that, I think that's the night of your guys' like Christmas show.
Yeah.
And so I'm going with...
Sudi?
No, I don't think she'll be in New York. No. I'm going with Greta, Abe, and Emily. I was like, that.
Oh, you're coming to New York? Oh, you're seeing... I thought you were being Wicked was in LA.
I'll be there for reasons I have not yet announced, but I'm going to be there for like a little bit over a week.
That's right.
Wow. And I'm going to see Wicked in the second row, and I'm going to watch... So this is what I hear. Basically, the rumor is about Wicked is that at one point Elphaba actually flies. Like, they pull off a trick where she actually, it looks like while she's singing a number, she actually ascends, and it's like for the first time Elphaba is flying in the show. So that's why I wanted to get such a close seat to the front, because to experience what I hear is a very cool special effect. So watch this space, as you were saying before.
What an iconic story, like a way to like freshen it up.
Mm-hmm.
If that rumor is
true. I mean, no one can confirm or deny whether or not Elphaba actually flies in Wicked, but if they are able to pull that off, I think that is very cool and like a big emotional height and probably a very emotional moment.
Of course, and a very emotional song.
Just kidding. Bone and I know exactly what happens in Wicked. Of course, Elphaba flies. We're still the culturistas after all.
I was going to say, wait, I'm not done talking about numbers.
Okay, go back.
Here's a number.
Are you ready? I'm so excited. I'm open for it.
12.
Oh, just enough said.
It has so much symmetry to it, right? You go, oh, 12. I'm seeing, you know, 12, mm-hmm. 12 pieces in a pie. I can either cut it. I can either, you know, take it out in thirds, in fourths, in halves.
Yeah.
So many beautiful radial patterns.
It's extremely malleable number, and that's what makes it a part of so many people's lives, is it can fit mm-hmm. in. It literally can fit in so many ways. You also have to respect 13. You have to respect 13.
13's been through a lot.
Been through a lot, seen it to hell and back, yeah. Okay?
Oh my God.
And 13 actually is such an imposing number that it sometimes its beauty gets lost, but there is a dark beauty to 13. And I think that it carries gravitas in that way.
You think 13 is carrying gravitas?
That's what I said. Why would I say anything different? That's what I said.
You did say that. That's what she said. I think this is the last number I'll say.
Okay. And then I'll say okay. One more too. And then we'll end the episode of Lost Cultures this.
Okay. 48.
The power that that has. 48.
The power that
48.
Has.
Not to rhyme, but carries weight.
Not to rhyme, but you did. You did, sister.
Can't help myself.
And that rhyme describes it perfectly. Carries the weight, 48.
It might sound a little Wayne Brady, but it's true. You know how Wayne Brady, always rhyming.
Always rhyming. 48, so great.
Carries weight.
Carries weight.
Don't be late.
Don't be late.
And now I would say that my most beautiful number before we do a song to finish the episode. If I had to say the most beautiful number, it would be 74.
See, what you did there is you named two other beautiful numbers.
No, you know what? I'm taking it all back. 70. 70. I don't need the four. 70. 70 is beautiful. It is legendary. 70.
70 is, I see her walking out at an award show, not unlike the Las Culturistas Culture Awards, accepting an award, not unlike the Queendom Award. Just out there, everyone shoots out of their seats. Clap, 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 clap for this legend, 70.
I literally think an incredible drag name would be 70 million. That's my drag name. 70 million.
That is iconic.
70 million or 70, 70. Or 70 millions. 70 millions. I kind of think that's funny. So we always end every episode of Las Culturistas, a searing pop culture podcast that really takes its time to look into all the elements of culture that you're thinking about, that you're consuming, and give our take on it, you know, our very smart, incisive take.
Would you say this is one of our smartest episodes?
I think this is one of the smartest episodes we've ever done. I think that's why Vulture said we were the top podcast of the year. You know what I mean? That's why Time, Esquire, Time Out New York. That's why everyone is raving about Las Culturistas. The podcast has received critical acclaim.
I don't understand why people think this podcast is like good or like highbrow. No one ever said it was highbrow.
You know
highbrow,
what? Sometimes
this is the dumbest podcast in existence. this is by far one of the stupidest podcasts
you could listen to. We end every episode with a song. Because when you're 15 and somebody tells you they love you, you're gonna believe them.
For more of that song, listen to Fearless, Taylor's version,
which is by Taylor Swift. It's responsible to stream it now.
Ethical streaming.
Happy ethical streaming, everyone.
Bye.
Happy ethical streaming. Bye.